At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Live at VSiN Prime Time. Live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas, here is Tim Murray and Jonathan Von Tobel.
We are off and running on a Tuesday evening, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas, Nevada. That gentleman, Jonathan Von Tobel, with a extra hop in his step. I can just feel it. I am Tim Murray. I got plenty of hops, too. NFL draft, 2 days away. Playoffs keep on rolling tonight. 3 NBA games, and are you not entertained by what we saw at the end of last night as the New York Knickerbockers, down 5 with 30 seconds to go, win? Joel Embiid not happy, saying they're still going to win the series with his hand in his face. LeBron James, the ageless wonder, but not enough, as Jamal Murray, no relation, game winner, down 20, 101-99. Not too shabby last night. I believe I saw a tweet from you that said something to the effect of, these games were entertaining.
Yeah, they were. My wife was trying to read a book while I was watching the games on the couch. I was like, dude, you got to get out of here. Like, this is absolutely ridiculous. I just kept doing a bunch of stuff like that. It was awesome. Absolutely awesome yesterday. And by the way, this kind of ties in. I know we go a little bit late, but this just came down. You mentioned the end of this game between the Philadelphia 76ers and the New York Knicks. We have the last 2-minute report out. So the controversy, of course, comes at the end of the game.
Yes.
Where Tyrese Maxey turns the ball over, but they're trying to inbound it from the baseline. And he's got the ball, but then, you know, he doesn't have possession when Nick Nurse is calling the timeout. The NBA has found 3 things about that final sequence in that game. Brunson did pull on Tyrese Maxey's jersey, and it should have been called. None of us are blind. We knew that one. Maxey's push off on Hart was marginal. Should not have been called. Yep, it's playoff basketball. Happens. And that Nick Nurse should have gotten a timeout. So the 76ers scientifically got screwed yesterday against the New York Knicks, I think is the official term. It's under protest. They're not going to win the protest. That's not what happens. It's a slippery slope if you do, because then every single other missed call, you're going to have to go back, and it's just going to be a nightmare. So nothing's going to happen here. But at the very least, the 76ers can sleep well at night knowing that they got screwed at the end of that game.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure they're happy. And they'll say, and the NBA, just like the home plate umpire yesterday in the Yankees game, my bad. Oh, wait, he didn't really apologize. He still stuck to his guns, because umpires never apologize unless you're James Joyce for a no-hitter. All right. 3 games tonight, Mr. Von Tobel.
That was a deep cut.
And we'll start with your beloved Clippers. We'll jump to the late-night game where we have seen a flip of favorites. The Clippers right now, a consensus 1.5-point favorite. It certainly seems like, despite the designation being questionable, that Kawhi Leonard is going to play.
It seems like that. Now, you're seeing a lot of Kawhi Leonard will play tonight from not people that are around the team. So very much pumped the brakes on whether or not Kawhi is going to be back out there. But he was at shoot-around earlier today. We don't know the extent of the work he did in shoot-around. Now, a lot of people keep clinging to the fact that, hey, no contact, right? I mean, the guy's played like 50 games. Like there's plenty of contact. You don't need like a ton of contact. At this time of the year, Tim, you know, when you're talking about practicing, you know, what exactly is contact before you get into a playoff game? I think that you're not really worried too much about that. It's, is he participating in shoot around and is he going to play? So it does look like it's trending in that direction. We'll see if that's going to be the case. And if that is the case, it's obviously huge because you get a guy who has been absolutely tremendous in his playoff career as a Los Angeles Clipper. As somebody was trying to move the goalposts on me when it came to an argument with Kawhi earlier today, 29-8-5 on 52% shooting, 37% from three in his time in a Clipper uniform. He's been absolutely dominant against the Dallas Mavericks. It gives you another defensive piece against Luka Doncic. We can go over this over and over again. But for right now, the market believes that Kawhi Leonard is going to play. Signs would point to Kawhi Leonard playing. And signs would also point to every single one of you haters out there holding on to your butts and hoping that he's not going to play. Let's go, baby. Come on. Get it done. We got to meet with our executives early, like later today.
We do?
Yeah, you know, we got a nice little shindig going on. I got to behave myself. Hopefully none of them stick around after 7 o'clock because I'm going to be an animal. Not like, you know, with libations. I'm just going to be sitting in the book and just being a really big pain in the butt.
All right. Let me just look. People on the list, okay? VSiN.com/picks. Will Hill, my ginger brother, gave out this morning on Follow the Money, Mavericks -2.5. Paulie Howard, Mavericks money line. Zachary Cohen, your
Clippers,
brother.
Clippers, clearly.
Your brother.
Mm-hmm.
Your NBA insider brother.
I mean, we're
Mavericks money line.
Oh.
JVT, what are we doing? They're not believing.
Nobody does.
In your team.
Nobody does. Nobody will. It's okay. Hey, it's okay. We'll see if Kawhi Leonard's out there. We'll see what the market does here. What's going to be even more fascinating is if Kawhi Leonard ends up not playing, Tim, do you swing all the way back to like Mavericks -3, which is what it was at one point. We saw the market kind of buy that back. So let's get to, as you always say, we're a sports betting network. What do you do here? At this point, you can't do anything. Because there is no confirmed information, unless I have missed it, that Kawhi is going to be back. But I will say this. If Kawhi Leonard's playing, the Clippers are not just 1.5-point favorites at home in a playoff game. So if for somehow I've missed this and the market just doesn't want to move, that's fine. But I think at this point right now, you're in a freeze until you know exactly what's going to happen with Kawhi Leonard. And again, I will kind of emphasize here, if he doesn't play, you get back up to 2.5-3. Think the Clippers are playable, so we'll see what the market does. But at this point right now, there's no real move to act on, only because we don't know what's going to happen with Kawhi Leonard, despite the fact that, again, he was at shoot-around. We just don't know what the workload is.
Busy show tonight. Mo Daquil will be joining us in 10 minutes. We'll get his thoughts on tonight's NBA slate. Mike Sanford later on in this hour. Best bets as well in this hour. As always, first hour of the program, always free on YouTube. So come hang out with us there, youtube.com/VSiN Live. A lot of NFL draft chatter later on in the show. We'll talk to Scott Smith and Sam Munson as well in hours 2 and 3. So a busy show. I want to play a game later on in the show of what if ... regarding the NFL draft.
Because what if Kawhi Leonard plays? Okay.
What if Kawhi Leonard plays? We could do it with anything. I think it could be a fun little game to play.
You guys better hope they don't win this series. Better hope they don't win this series.
Who's you guys?
I'm talking to you. You know who you are.
Who?
You better hope. Just saying.
I just, can we just ISO him up and just have that, just so we can have that as a clip? You better hope. Who are you talking to?
They know who
it's
they
like
are.
The Truman Show. Who the hell are you talking to?
Who am I not talking to? Have you seen a single person who thought the Clippers could beat the,
I'm sitting
guess,
next to him.
Reincarnation of the 2017 Golden State Warriors, apparently, and the Dallas Mavericks?
All right, speaking of consensus, well, the consensus was, the Bucks stink, no Giannis. And I still can't get over the exercise that you did yesterday on the show, looking at the power ratings and the fact that the Bucks were power rated based off of the market and the numbers that were set in games one, the worst team in the playoffs.
Yep.
There has been an adjustment. Milwaukee is -1 here tonight against the Indiana Pacers. This game will tip off at 8:30. So you were on Milwaukee in game one. Going back to the well with Milwaukee in game two?
Yeah, the market hasn't adjusted enough by my measure. And again, so we go back to, and I think this is, so Clippers and Mavericks and then Pacers and Bucks, I think kind of mirror one another, right? Obviously, because Kawhi Leonard's hurt, Giannis Antetokounmpo is hurt. You have upstart team in the Dallas Mavericks who ended the season pretty strongly. You have the Indiana Pacers that didn't end the season as strongly but did beat up on the Bucks in the regular season. So you have Bucks minus one, 1.5. And again, let's say I'm wrong, Tim. Let's say that, you know what, home court's worth 3 points. Steve Mackinnon commented in our video that we put up on Twitter yesterday. Yep. At MeJVT, if you want to watch it. He said that, you know, four makes sense in certain situations. He has it more around three. Let's say that Steve's right and I'm wrong. Again, do we really think the Indiana Pacers rate as the better team than the Milwaukee Bucks, even without Giannis Antetokounmpo? And I don't believe that's the case. So again, if we're running with the premise that these two teams, at the very worst, are equals, which I don't, again, think is the case, Tim, the Sunday should be three. You should give the Milwaukee Bucks home court. And I understand if you want to play the zigzag, if you'd like. I know that worked out last night. The larger sample size over the last 3 years would tell you that the zigzag's kind of gone away a little bit here. But I think overall,
worked out from a cover standpoint.
Yes.
None of those teams won.
Correct. And that's generally always when I say zigzag, that's what I mean from a cover standpoint. But it's just, for me, I think that the Bucks are being undervalued. And you brought up the market ratings. The market did adjust. But now the Bucks are still being rated as the worst team in the postseason. It's just that they're tied now with the Orlando Magic in terms of power rating. I just don't think that should be the case. And we can bring up all of the examples that a lot of people like to hang on to. You know, it's funny, last year, a lot of people liked the Golden State Warriors, and like not everybody, but a lot of people looked at Golden State and said, well, you know, they got a really big edge in playoff experience over the Sacramento Kings. Who are the playoff stalwarts on the Indiana Pacers outside of Pascal Siakam, who's won an NBA Finals? We know that Tyrese Haliburton, everybody freaked out. Like, oh, Tyrese Haliburton, he's not going to do that again. He's not going to score only 9 points. Tyrese Haliburton has averaged 7 less points per game since his injury in the middle of the season.
He's a different player, by the way. He's a different player. And I think what hasn't been pointed out enough, and you pointed it out, yes, the Pacers went 4-1 against the Bucks this regular season. The last time they played prior to 2 days ago was January 3rd.
Yeah.
So it's 4 months ago.
I just think that we've just gone too far in one direction here. I understand that Milwaukee ended the season poorly. I understand that the regular season series did not go well. But again, when you rely on the fact that home court is very valuable in an NBA postseason, the fact that the Pacers, if you look at all the numbers, are a different team, that they play slower, that they're not as efficient in transition. By the way, an abysmal offensive rating off of live rebounds in transition against the Milwaukee Bucks, a team that got better in that defense rating under Doc Rivers by 5.1 points per 100 plays. Like, there's just things here that I think the market's just not really factoring in. So again, I think this number at the very least should be three. Give the Milwaukee Bucks home court. We're not there. I bet Bucks pick earlier today. It'll probably close 1.5. Still think it's playable here for Milwaukee today.
Best bets coming up bottom of the hour. I can't help myself. I got another NFL draft bet I got to throw in there. One more. And maybe another couple before the draft rolls around. That's JVT. I'm Tim Murray. Oh, by the way, Phoenix and Minnesota are playing tonight, too, at 7:30. Minnesota right now laying three. Much more on tonight's NBA action coming up on the other side. Mo Dakeel.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
We are the voice of NASCAR.
The green flag is in the air, and we are underway the great American race.
The Motor Racing Network. NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Craftsman Truck Series Racing live on your hometown radio station and MRN or NASCAR.com. Martinsville, Talladega, the Chicago Street Course. We have the side-by-side action and last lap passes for the win.
Photo finishes. Ryan Blaney will win.
The voice of NASCAR, the Motor Racing Network.
This is VSiN Primetime with Tim Murray and Jonathan Von Tobel on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
2 weeks of free betting split access, folks. Check it out now, VSiN.com/splits. You can sign up. You can get all of the data for the games here today in the NBA postseason. What a shocker. 57% of the money and 55% of the bets at DraftKings run the Dallas Mavericks in this matchup against the Los Angeles Clippers.
Same thing happened in game one, and what happened there?
All right, let's check it out. VSiN.com/splits. Get it in, folks. Get that data now.
You're fired up today. I love this.
I can't wait.
I love the week.
I also can't wait to sit in that book and watch them lose by 20. Like, this is going to be great. I'm so fired up for this game. It's great.
Well, we'll see if our next guest is just as fired up. He once upon a time worked for the Los Angeles Clippers. It is Mo Daquil, who joins us right now at Mo, DAKHIL_NBA on Twitter. Mo, appreciate you jumping on with us. He joins us on our progressive guest line. Let's jump right to the game that Mr. JVT is fired up about. Clippers up 1-0. It's the belief that Kawhi could come back. He's questionable. The betting market would say they believe he's coming back. So we look at game one, we head to game two. What's your thoughts heading into game two at crypto.com tonight?
I still don't think he's coming back. I will never believe it until he's actually in the uniform when the game tips off and he's on the floor. Like, yep. I will not, I don't care, probable, questionable, we've upgraded, downgraded, whatever. I won't believe it till he's actually there. I think this is going to be a very interesting game considering how poorly the Mavs played that game to start. I mean, only 8 points in the second quarter, 30 points for the first half. That's not how the Mavericks play. And I didn't feel like it was the Clippers' defense as much as the Mavs really missed opportunities and shots. When you look at the way everybody else played besides Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic, I think they had areas where those guys can really step up and lift up and play better. And on top of that, just I don't know if the Clippers will shoot as well as they did last game.
So when you look at what the Mavericks did in that matchup, what do you think the dynamic in terms of minutes is for Gafford and Kleba? Because they went a little small right in the second half. They had some success. Gafford got bodied up by Zubac. Do the Mavericks start small, do you think, Mo? Do you think that maybe we're starting to play some unders here for Gafford? What's the split there for the centers for Dallas?
Yeah, I'd be careful if I were the Mavericks to just make such a drastic change to your starting lineup right off the bat. I mean, we know, look, Gafford didn't play a ton of minutes. I mean, only 14. They went small, but it wasn't like Kleba was all that much better, right? Like, yes, he was +6 on the box score and everything with that, but it still doesn't help them offensively, doesn't give them the rim roller that they've been kind of looking for and who Luka likes to play with in that regard. So I'm not ready to declare it yet that Gafford is going to be a guy that they're going to bring off the bench or it's going to limit his minutes completely. So I'm not ready yet for the under. As good as Zubac was in that game, let's see if Zubac can do that again.
Mo Daquil joining us here on VSiN Primetime, joining us on our progressive guest line. Game that's first going to tip off our triple header, so to speak, of NBA playoff action is Phoenix and Minnesota. Minnesota, boy, what a performance we saw from them in game one. Betting market had Phoenix as the favorite in this series, and Minnesota goes out and wins by 25, Mo. Do we see a different Phoenix tonight, or does the same thing keep rolling here? Because, boy, I felt like Minnesota just completely dominated on the glass in that front court against Phoenix.
Yeah, I think we see a more concentrated and focused Phoenix Suns team. I mean, besides KD, they really didn't have a lot else going on offensively. Booker was in, you know, really locked up. They did a great job being physical with him and making him and pressuring him a ton. And I think it'll be very interesting to see how he responds to that, how Beal responds to it. I'm still not sure they're going to win the series, but I just think those guys are just going to play better. And of course, they need a better run on the boards. I don't know if they have the size that will actually win them the rebounding battle, but they got to find a way to be a better job as a team doing gang rebounding, which is all five guys jumping in and making sure they grab the boards, are on the glass together. It can't be just considered one or two guys being the difference. It's got to be all five guys, because Minnesota has the height advantage on them, just with height and length, really, when you look at it. And I think that's part of the problem that's going to be slowing up the Suns. And I mean, Edwards was freaking phenomenal, guys. Like, I don't know what else to say. That third quarter run from Edwards, when people want to tell me, like, hey, there are no North American stars in the NBA, that dude's an up-and-coming star. Like, I don't know how we can really have that conversation with him killing it the way he is in Minnesota.
Yeah, it seems most likely to be the next American-born MVP, but we'll see if that's going to be the case. All right, so let's go to the game at 5:30 p.m. Pacific time today. Indiana on the road against Milwaukee. So, Mo, I've been kind of beating the drum here that, and I think these two series mirror each other, right? Like Clippers and Mavericks, and then Bucks and Pacers, given the status of their two stars and whatnot. But I think the market has kind of forgotten, like, the Bucks are still competent, and I don't think that they are worse than the Pacers, but the betting market would say that they are rated worse than Indiana. What did we see in game one that is sustainable for Milwaukee heading into game two?
I think it's just the energy and the effort that they put in defensively was the big thing for the way to do it. Like, we can't count on 35 points from Damian Lillard in the first half, and granted, I'm pretty sure he had zero in the second. But I think the you can't really count on that if you're Milwaukee, but it's your effort defensively. It's your fight defensively. And I thought they did a very good job of really putting the clamps on Indiana and pressuring them, keeping them kind of out of the paint and really challenging them a ton. I think that's going to be the thing most they need to be most consistent with going in to game two and really the rest of the series, because the offense will come and go with them. They might go off. They might not. You know, Bobby Portis had a big run offensively. But you got to be able to lock down defensively on their end, and I think that will be an important thing for the Bucks when they go into game two.
Mo, looking ahead to tomorrow, we got two games, Boston-Miami, followed by New Orleans-Oklahoma City. And over the weekend, it really was not a lot of fascinating games until we got New Orleans and Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City pulls out game one. Got a 7.5-point spread right now between New Orleans and OKC for game two. What do you expect from the Pelicans, and do they are they able to even this series up tomorrow night in OKC?
I think game one was their best chance to get a win in Oklahoma City. I think you're going to see a Thunder team, I think, kind of win relatively big, and big in the playoffs is like 10, 12 points, I guess. But I think you're going to see a Thunder team that's a little bit more under control, a little more more comfortable after they got the first playoff game under their belt, kind of having a little bit more of like, okay, let's get back to our stuff. And I think they need to be smarter with how they play. They built these big leads and then allowed Pelicans back into it. Like, that was a game of runs over and over again. And I think they need to just be smarter with how they attack. I'm not sure how confident I am CJ will keep putting the performance that he's put on. Like, we've seen him have some great games. We've seen him have some complete no-shows, like in the play-in game against the Lakers. So it's one of those things, again, it's so even keeled in terms of just figuring out consistency, and I don't know if we can get that from the Pelicans. So I think that would be my concern if I'm New Orleans.
All right, we saw the two-minute report come out about like an hour or so ago. It looks like the Knicks got away with one against the Philadelphia 76ers, at least by the league's measure. So, but let's talk about this. I mean, you put yourself in position, if you're Philly, with the way you play, to get screwed by those calls down the stretch. So what happens in game three? What does Philly need to do better to turn this thing around and do what Joel Embiid said, which is win this series?
You know, the thing that's really kind of frustrating if you're a Philly fan, or I would be as a video coordinator or on the coaching staff for Philly, your game plan worked. Your game plan has worked the past two games. It's not even like there's not, I don't know if there's even really a level of adjustment. It's come down to three or four plays, couple of luck situations. I mean, the Sixers are just haunted by bounces on the rim. I mean, that lucky bounce that Jalen Brunson got on his shot and it bounces in is a little bit reminiscent of the Kawhi Leonard shot. And I think it's just along those lines of like, your game plan works. It's just, you need to be a little bit more solid. I think part of the question is, and this is the big one, is not just Joel Embiid's health, but his stamina. How long can he go? How much energy does he have in his legs? Are we burning him out too early? I think that was the problem for him, was that he got tired down the stretch, and that tended to hold him back and wouldn't allow him to really kind of take over the way we're used to seeing a fully healthy Joel Embiid do it. But if I'm them, stay with what you're doing right now. It's working. You just got to clean up two or three plays.
Mo Duckhill joining us here on VSiN Primetime. You can catch him on Bleacher Report, writes there, and follow him on Twitter at Mo, D-A-K-H-I-L underscore NBA. You're there in L.A., Lakers up 20, and let it slip through their fingertips. They're a slight favorite now against Denver for Thursday night. How does this team and can this team respond after having that game ripped out of their hands last night?
I mean, they could respond and win game three, but I don't see them having a chance to win this series. Like, if we're just being honest, this is one of those teams that they do not play that well against the Nuggets. They build enough of a lead, but then the Nuggets turn on the switch, and then they can't stop them. That game down the stretch the last few minutes, as good as LeBron was, as good as AD was for three quarters, that wasn't enough. And they're not getting a lot out of D'Angelo Russell. They're not getting enough out of Reeves. None of the supporting cast has really helped out. They might get Vanderbilt back for game three. I still don't think that helps them. I don't think that answers the question, which is, how do you stop Jokic? And the first person who has the correct answer for that is going to be a billionaire, because nobody has come up with that answer yet. And I think that's the problem for the Lakers and really the rest of the Western Conference, is there's no way to stop this team. And it won't surprise me if they build another big lead in game three and the Nuggets come storming back. That's what they did last year in the playoffs, and that's what they're doing this year against the Lakers.
Mo, great stuff, man. We appreciate it. Enjoy the games tonight.
Thank you guys for having me.
There he is, Mo DeKeel, joining us on our Progressive guest line. Three games tonight in the NBA. Do we get any series even up at one game apiece? JVT will have his best bets for tonight's NBA action. All our best bets, including an NFL draft play, next.
This is VSiN Primetime with Tim Murray and Jonathan Von Tobel on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All you draft Knicks out there, just like Tim Murray, you want to shoot it straight into your veins with our NFL draft coverage here at VSiN. Let's go. Starting draft day, 6 p.m. Eastern, the VSiN primetime host Tim Murray and Jonathan Von Tobel.
That's you.
That's me. And special guests Mike Golic Sr. and Mike Golic Jr. I didn't agree to that, but they can come on. As they deep dive into the draft prospects and predictions, and you can stay locked in, special edition of the GM Shuffle, 8 p.m. Eastern, where Michael Lombardi, a former NFL exec, Femi Abebefe, going to bring you real-time analysis of the first-round picks. Michael, of course, gives his thoughts every draft pick and trade as they happen. And you can watch this special edition of the GM Shuffle on VSiN, DraftKings Network, and our YouTube page. How about that? Cap off the night, 11 p.m. Eastern, VSiN tonight, where they will wrap up all the first-round action. Find all of your NFL draft betting insights, including Matt Heumann's mock draft and Tim Murray's as well, even though he's already back down on the selections, at VSiN.com/draft.
Hey, I'm just saying.
It was not even 24. It was even 2 hours after
the tweak things.
Yeah, hours after you posted the mock, you were already backing down.
I had more information. Why?
What information? You texting people?
Yeah.
Stop.
Dude, and reading. I have come to the conclusion, and that's why I want to do this later on in the show, that J.J. McCarthy's not going top five.
I mean, welcome to the club. We've been here for months. Where have you been?
I know you have. Well, plus 125 to the over right now.
Ooh.
You're basing that, and this is what you said, this is what Drew Dinsick said, you're basing the J.J. McCarthy selection on a trade.
Yes.
You need a trade to happen in order for you to cash your under, which is now around minus 160, at least at Circa. So color me skeptical. And then everything that has been kind of coming out lately has been the Vikings like Drake May.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they'll stick at 11 and draft J.J. McCarthy. By the way, I almost laughed when I said maybe they'll stick at 11 and pick Bo Nix. Yeah, okay, sure.
Okay, two things. First off, my mock draft, which I think we'll unveil today. I do have a team trading up inside of the top four to select a quarterback. How about that? What a tease. Also, do you think we can do this? Are you ready for this, Britton? I'm about to throw it down. You ready for this? I will bet Tim Murray that he cannot go the rest of the show without saying the name Bo Nix.
Well, now I'm not going to do it.
Will he have the willpower? I don't know. I'll buy him like a beer or something. We're not going crazy. There we go.
Quarterback of Oregon. Okay.
No. I want stipulations. I want no Bo Nix mentions. I don't want veiled mentions. I want nothing. No Bo Nix. Nothing. Can you do it?
Let me see. Well, you don't have him in your mock draft.
No, I don't.
I don't have him in mine. Yeah, I think we're all right.
All right, let's do it. Let's see it. Timer starts now.
All right, we're in. Speaking of best bets,
ooh,
that was a bet right there.
B word.
Let's get to it. Our best bets tonight.
I'm using an old style.
I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom.
Putting our money where our mouth is.
I like to live dangerously.
It's time for Best Bets.
Come on, Jerry, it's a lock.
All right, best bet time. Mr. Von Tobel, been off to a pretty good start. I'll just say this, last night on this program, you bet the Philadelphia 76ers. It was 5 at the time of best bets. You wrote it up, plus 6. You said, I would play it to 3.5. What did the game end?
It ended on 3, right?
3.
Okay, there we go.
Boom. So even if you listened all the way to 3.5, which I don't think you got to, I think you got to 4, a winner. So a good winner last night. JVT, where are we headed tonight?
So I played Bucks pick. I think this is playable, you know, again, upwards of 3. So it's -1 right now. You're not missing out on anything. Go ahead and lay that. It goes back to a lot of what we talked about here. The Bucks deserve more credit at home. The Pacers should not rate as a better team, even without Giannis Antetokounmpo. Because, again, too, like if you talk about whatever Giannis is worth to a point spread, Tim, like you're still not making this massive leap here if Giannis comes back. You know what I'm saying? Like, even if Giannis comes back, the market rating realistically would still say, yeah, the Bucks are only like maybe 2 points better than Indiana. I think that gap's bigger. You're playing at home. Home court means worth more in the postseason, as we've discussed. Evidence that it should be worth upwards of 4 points in the postseason and a lengthy track record at that. If you want to make it 3, that's fine. At the very least, I think the Bucks, at the very least, should be getting home court. And I want to address something really quickly, too, because a lot of people would point to the first game and go, well, Damian Lillard's not going to do that again. He can't do that again. You're right. And that's why in the second half, he didn't. He went 0-for
zero
in the second
points.
Yeah, the second half, he scored 0 points. The regression did hit for Damian Lillard. And it's not just like, what does it mean that you can't do it again? Sure, he can't do it again. So what if he comes out and just has an average night and Bobby Portis and Chris Middleton also provide and they end up winning this game here against Indiana? I also think when you look at it as well, when you talk about the ability to defend in transition, a lot of people would say, well, the Pacers were abysmal in transition. That's not going to happen again. The Pacers were much worse with Pascal Siakam in transition off of live rebounds since they acquired him. The Bucks improved their transition defense by over 5 points per 100 plays under Doc Rivers. Things did get better. So I think overall, again, it just boils down to a very simple fact for me. You deserve more credit for playing at home. They are being underrated. We went back to the market power ratings. The market says that they are rated similarly to the Orlando Magic. That is not something I buy. Give me the Milwaukee Bucks.
All right, Bucks it is. You're not going with the Clippers or just because of the uncertainty with
Kawhi? Yeah, uncertain. We have no idea. The market's moving back to pick right now. So again, we have no idea what's going to happen with Kawhi Leonard. So if this swings all the way back to 3, 3.5, 3 is the buy point for me without Kawhi Leonard. Excuse me. On the floor for the Los Angeles Clippers.
Getting choked up, felt about Kawhi not playing.
Yes, indeed. I mean, Mo put it really well. Mo DeKeel was with us earlier. You don't believe it until he's like out there on the floor. And even then, like, I wouldn't believe it until the game is over. So as fired up as I am, you know, it still goes back to the basic point. The Clippers, I think, are being undervalued. But there's so much noise around this right now. There's no need or no reason to jump in at this point. Let the market settle and then attack afterwards.
All right, a new NFL bet. NFL draft bet for me, J.C. Latham, tackle out of Alabama. His current draft position, depending on what book you look at, it's 14.5. Juice varies here at Circa, -205 to the under. But for those of you who have access to DraftKings, -165. So I'm going to add this one to the draft portfolio. J.C. Latham under 14.5. He does feel like he's one of those players that's been getting the late buzz. You look at his big board ratings, 9th according to Lance Zierlein, 13th Dane Brugler, Daniel Jeremiah a little bit lower on him. However, I'll note this. I was listening, by the way, producer Britton, it's 14.5, not 16.5. Would love 16.5, but 14.5 is the number.
I'm trying to treat.
It was interesting to note that Daniel Jeremiah, I was listening to him. He was doing a podcast with Todd McShay and Ryan Russillo, and they were just kind of going back and forth. And he said, you know, I'm thinking about putting him at number 5 to the Chargers. And we're going to do an exercise at the top of the next hour. What if, ... But what if the Chargers don't trade out? What if there is no trade partner? All this discussion this week has been the Patriots are listening at 3. And the Cardinals are listening at 4. The Chargers 1 out of 5. What if no one wants to trade up? What if, as you've pointed out, what if the market realizes J.J. McCarthy is the 20th best prospect and they don't need to trade up all the way to number 5? So I had the Chargers picking J.C. Latham at 11 in my mock draft. But what if they pick him at 5? 28-1 at DraftKings. Not saying it's going to happen. It's obviously a long shot, but interesting thought process. I want to get Mike Sanford's thoughts. He's going to join us here in about 5 minutes on the prospect that is J.C. Latham, the tackle out of Alabama. But what if J.J. McCarthy doesn't go five? Plus 125 to the over right now here at Circa.
Yeah, something we added to the portfolio. We, Mike Conglomerate.
You did.
Earlier. No, I was talking about Mike Conglomerate of me and my 5 and 2 year old sons. We grind away when we're at home. By the way, J.C. Latham going 19th in my mock draft. Sorry, Tim. That's a loser. So, and mine's the best one. By the way, I will say another trade. I have two trades inside the top four, Tim.
Ooh.
You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Chargers do trade their fifth pick. They do. They trade up to get Marvin Harrison Jr. Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. I could see. I
could see anything. We don't know anything. I could see anything.
No, I, well,
I like your the report, right? Yeah, you know the Cardinals are listening. Yeah, you know who else is? Every other team.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to call
and
listen.
Every general manager is listening, is picking up the telephone. Maybe the Bears aren't listening at one. Like, you can't offer them anything to get Caleb Williams. They're picking Caleb Williams, and it seems like Adam Peters and company are staying put at two and selecting a quarterback at two. After that, I don't know. I think the Patriots ultimately stay at three and pick a quarterback. But who knows?
Tim, the other night, I was out with my wife. I had a nice young woman approach me.
Oh.
Yes. It was right in front of my wife. But you know what? I listened, but I declined because I'm married and I'm happy. You listen all the time. Doesn't mean you're going to do anything. He knows. It was a great spot. Love it.
We got four hockey games later tonight as well. Are your Predators, JVT, going to bounce back? Big spot for them on the road at Vancouver.
Don't buy it.
No?
Well, statistically, if we're going by the process that I generally use with my very, very archaic way of handicapping hockey, a lot of statistics were pointing the Vancouver Canucks direction. There was not really many statistics in which the Predators ended up winning that. High danger chances, shot share, expected goals for. I thought they kind of got outplayed in watching it, too. So don't really love it, but maybe a bounce back spot. Maybe we're zigzagging here in the NHL.
He's on the Bucks. J.C. Latham under 14.5, minus 165 at DraftKings. Those are our best bets tonight. Mike Sanford, former Colorado offensive coordinator and interim head coach, breaking down the draft with us next.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
We are the voice of NASCAR.
The green flag is in the air, and we are underway. The Great American Race.
The Motor Racing Network. NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Craftsman Truck Series Racing. Live on your hometown radio station and MRN or NASCAR.com. Martinsville, Talladega, the Chicago Street Course. We have the side-by-side action and last lap passes for the win.
Photo finishes. Ryan Blaney will win.
The voice of NASCAR, the Motor Racing Network. Work.
This is VSiN Primetime with Tim Murray and Jonathan Von Tobel on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. For the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting. Oh my gosh, we get so choked up. Odds boost and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Use code VSIN. New customers bet $5, get $200 in bonus bets instantly. The code is VSIN only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Alongside Jonathan Von Tobel, who is just beyond excited. I mean, he's getting emotional here on this set. for the Clippers game tonight.
Punch drunk today. Let's go. Come on.
He's on the Bucks tonight. That game tipping off at 8:30 Eastern. We just gave out our best bets. As always, you can join us the first hour of our program for free on YouTube, youtube.com/VSinLive. We're welcomed right now by Mike Sanford, longtime offensive coordinator, grinding the tape right now, looking at these prospects. Most recently, the interim head coach of Colorado. You once upon a time started grinding your teeth with Jim Harbaugh at Stanford. So I texted you because it was just a back and forth, very kind of nonchalant, matter of fact. But I was curious, with Daniel Jeremiah from the NFL Network doing the Chargers games over the years, and he said, you know, I might mock J.C. Latham, number 5, to the Chargers just because he fits the type of profile that Jim Harbaugh would like. What do you make of J.C. Latham, the tackle out of Alabama, as a prospect, Mike? And do you agree with that sentiment that he would fit the type of player that Harbaugh likes to have in his building?
Well, thanks for having me on, fellas. Tim and JBT, it's draft season, man. It's here. It's 2 days away, and I'm so excited. J.C. Latham, let's start out with him as a player. Powerful. I saw this young man at the combine. He is built like a unit. He is more of your niche offensive tackle that's not necessarily going to fit every single system in the National Football League. So you think about a system like the Kyle Shanahan and the McVay systems that are based heavily on outside zone. You're looking for more of an athletic, quick feet. Think Troy Fautanu in this particular draft class. But J.C. Latham is a guy that's built for a Jim Harbaugh, Greg Roman, beat you up, play bully ball type of a system. And I think that's exactly where he's going to end up. But I do find the comparison from offensive lineman to a quarterback in this draft class, thinking Bo Nix. Bo Nix is a guy that's probably not going to fit every NFL system because of the arm strength limitations, but he will fit Denver. So there won't be maybe as much competition for a Bo Nix, wherever that ends up being for the Denver Broncos. I think J.C. Latham is in the same spot. So I say that J.C. Latham ends up a Charger. I have major questions if he ends up a Charger at pick number 5. And that's where I think the Chargers can get some value for wide receiver and quarterback starving teams. But I do think Jim Harbaugh and Greg Roman want to build this team as the best group up front.
All right, so let's stick with your neck of the woods because I know that this is a hot topic. Zach Wilson, now Denver Bronco. Jets just sent out the thank you tweet to Zach Wilson. People are questioning what they're thanking him for. But regardless, he is now going to be in your neck of the woods, Mike. So what does this change for Denver when it comes to the first round of the NFL draft?
Well, I think it changes a lot. I think that Zach Wilson is a guy that came out with a grade worthy of a second pick overall, and that was not that long ago. And then you think right now, Zach Wilson's 24 years old. So is Bo Nix and Michael Penix Jr. And so there was some movement in the later rounds. The Broncos gave up their 6th, essentially moved down 53 spots and acquired the 7th from the New York Jets. So there is a little bit of value that was given out. I just think that this puts the Broncos in a position where they don't feel like they need to draft maybe a comparable talent in a guy like Bo Nix. Although I would argue that Zach Wilson has much more arm talent than a guy like Bo Nix. So I do think that Bo Nix at 12 is not going to happen in Denver. I don't see a world where that would exist. I do think that Denver's also going to wait to see if they can jump somehow, some way into the top 4 quarterback in this draft class conversation. But I think they did the move with Zach Wilson to ensure if that doesn't happen, that they can maybe draft a quarterback in the 2nd, 3rd rounds if they indeed do move into the 2nd with the trade.
So I want to go back to something you mentioned right at the top, which is he had a 2nd-round talent grade, right? Or it should be a 2nd overall pick grade, Zach Wilson did, just a couple of years ago. Because we're seeing a lot of like, oh, we knew he was going to be a bust the whole time. I don't think that's the case. And I would assume Sean Payton sees the arm talent and natural talent that Wilson has and says, they could probably do something with that, right?
There's no question about it. I think that Sean Payton looks at this move similar to that of Drew Brees in New Orleans. You think about Drew Brees, and yes, he did have some quality starts as a San Diego supercharger back in the days in his first several years, but he was coming off a labrum surgery. He's getting his shoulder repaired. That was a big risk for the New Orleans Saints. And I think that Sean Payton, if you look at his track record, since he's been in Denver, there's been a lot of recreation of the magic in New Orleans, his staff. And I think this move is because Zach Wilson has tremendous arm talent. My brother-in-law actually coached at BYU. He was a quarterback coach when Zach Wilson was in at BYU. So I think there is some talent. He's just been living through football hell, literal football hell in the New York Jets franchise. You got multiple play callers. You've got some micromanagement possibly of offensive play callers between Mike LaFleur and then moving on to Nathaniel Hackett and Robert Saleh having his hands in the cookie jar. I think that Zach Wilson has got his best football ahead of him. And so I don't think this is a bad move at all for the Denver Broncos. And I do think it impacts their draft, especially a Bo Nix. I think this makes a Bo Nix in the first round even more of a long shot, particularly because the Denver Broncos are the team most and really only team linked to him as a possible first round destination.
Well, I'm not allowed to say that name as a bet from JVT, but I'll just give a pump of the fist, you know, because that's where I stand. It was a bet on the show that I wasn't allowed to say that quarterback's name all 3 hours, and I win a beer if I don't. So, well, let's carry on because
we're tiptoeing on the line here.
I don't think, Mike, we've talked much about defensive players here with you. So there's been a lot of buzz lately for Byron Murphy, the defensive tackle out of Texas, rising up draft boards. Maybe he could be the first defensive player selected. Dallas Turner kind of uniformly, is that a word?
Consensus.
All right, how about that? Has been the top defensive guy. And then someone that you've coached against, I believe, Laiatu Latu out of UCLA, if he's cleared medically, a lot of people are intrigued by that. So, Mike, when you look at the defensive players, who do you think is the best defensive player in this draft class?
I got Dallas Turner. I fell in love with Dallas Turner at the combine. The movement skills, the ability to be a ballistic pass rusher, the athleticism, the speed, the vertical jump, like everything that you could possibly see. And then you get to the movement drills, and the guy looked like he played even as a drop second-level linebacker. I think he's the most versatile type player. I think he's going to be the one that is going to be the Anderson of the Texans kind of draft pick of this year. And I could see him being the defensive rookie of the year. You know, the Byron Murphy one, I was obviously impressed with his tape, much like I was very impressed with Jared Versus' tape. But I do think that it's going to take a team that has an incredible need and a system for interior pass rushers. And not everybody's built that way in this day's National Football League. You know, the Kansas City Chiefs clearly are. But there are a lot of teams that play more of a 3-4, two-gapping defensive front. And in that case, you wouldn't find a ton of value out of Byron Murphy in the top 15. I think Dallas Turner ends up being the first guy that gets his name called. And then I think that would be followed by, you know, a guy like Laiatu Latu. I think he's the best pure technical pass rusher in this draft class. And Jared Versus' tape and his production is off the charts. I do think he slid a little bit based off some performance that he did have in Indianapolis.
I'm going to steal a question from my colleague Gil Alexander because I think it's a good one. Outside of the first overall pick being Caleb Williams, what do you think you know about the first round of the NFL draft, Mike?
Well, I think there's a lot of debate right now about who is the actual number one grade, you know, across the National Football League. And a lot of people that I've talked to do say that Jaden Daniels is their number one. And from my evaluation process that I've gone through over the last 6, 7, 8 months, I have Jaden Daniels as my number one. So even though there's been some heat on, you know, Jaden Daniels getting, you know, maybe Washington moving out of two, I think that the best bet right now is to say Jaden Daniels as the number two. I think Drake May doesn't have that type of grade where he entered into the conversation about being the number one overall quarterback in this draft class. So I think Jaden Daniels, whether it be Washington, whether Washington does move out of two, I think the smart bet is Jaden Daniels at two. I think that's a lock from what I can see so far.
We've talked Roma Dunze with you, Mike Sanford, joining us on our Progressive Guest Line. Malik Nabers versus Marvin Harrison Jr. We've got 45 seconds. Is it close?
I think it is close. I think that Malik Nabers has that explosiveness, the wild, his ability to take any standard, you know, 5-yard catch, quick out, and turn it into an explosive play, I think is at the most elite level in this draft class. Marvin Harrison Jr. is so big, so athletic. Can do all the things as a route runner. So it just depends on what you're looking for. If you're looking for a playmaker F slot receiver, then Malik Nabers without question is your guy. If you're looking at that X, the big guy, I think that guy is definitely going to be your Marvin Harrison Jr.
Mike, always appreciate it. We loved your breakdowns and can't wait for Thursday night.
Hey, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of surprises.
There he is. Mike Sanford Jr. on our Progressive Guest Line. Hour one in the books. We'll get you a primetime primer of the three NBA games and a little fun exercise we'll call What If? ...
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
We are the voice of NASCAR.
The green flag is in the air, and we are underway. The Great American Race.
The Motor Racing Network. NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Craftsman Truck Series Racing. Live on your hometown radio station and MRN or NASCAR.com. Martinsville, Talladega, the Chicago Street Course. We have the side-by-side action and last lap passes for the win.
Photo finishes. Ryan Blaney will win.
The voice of NASCAR, the Motor Racing Network. Work.